Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your own hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But I tell you the truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 weeks ago, on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. In the Gospel that day, we heard, "When Jesus had been baptized, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" As we return to Luke's Gospel on this third Sunday after the Epiphany, we hear in Jesus' reading from Isaiah an echo of his baptism. It was in the synagogue in Nazareth, a place Jesus had spent many Sabbaths. Nazareth was where he had grown up. He would have been well known to those who were gathered for worship. Many of these people must have known him since he was a little boy. He wasn't just the son of Mary anymore, though. Now he had come to be known as a knowledgeable rabbi and a worker of miracles. The synagogue may have been extra full that Sabbath as, in a mixture of curiosity and expectation, the people came not just to hear God's word, but also to see and hear this hometown boy. Many would have been proud that he was putting their town on the map. But they also would have been interested to see for themselves whether the amazing things they had been hearing about him were indeed true. When the time for the readings came, Jesus was given the second reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He opened it and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus read. Never before had these words of Isaiah been more true. For when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit had descended on him in bodily form like a dove and remained on him. The words Jesus read, words he applied to himself, are a reminder of what happened at his baptism. They help us interpret the significance of what happened then. When he had been baptized, the Lord, Jesus' Father, anointed with him with his Holy Spirit, thereby setting him apart and equipping him for this special ministry. The words Jesus read at the synagogue in Nazareth, and the way the people there received them, foreshadow the arc and conclusion of Jesus' ministry. He came proclaiming good news for the poor. He declared captives free, and at his word the blind received sight. He gave liberty to those who were oppressed by demons. In short, in his preaching and in his work, he showed that the time of the Lord's favor had arrived. This is wonderful news. What a merciful and gracious truth, and what a privilege for the crowd in Nazareth's synagogue to hear. For he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, in your hearing. But the amazement and wonder of the people soon turned to discontent. From what Luke writes, it's hard to know exactly why this happened. Perhaps it had to do with the people's familiarity with Jesus, that it seemed as if he was claiming more than he ought. Perhaps the people began to consider just how what Jesus had said might apply to them. After all, though none of them would likely have said that they were rich, most of them wouldn't have been poor beggars either. They certainly weren't prisoners of war and thus slaves. And the vast majority of them wouldn't have been blind. As for being crushed or broken or oppressed, this probably wasn't how they perceived themselves either. On top of everything, though, he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." As far as they could see, there wasn't any fulfilling that was going on. In Capernaum, he had worked miracles. All he had done in Nazareth was speak pleasant words. Anyone could do that. They may have been wondering, where's the proof? Enough of the words. Let's see some miracles, something of substance. We might easily be inclined to share their reaction. It's certainly very nice that Jesus came to proclaim release and liberty and sight. But how do these things affect you and me? When we're sick, we want healing, not just pleasant words. And it takes more than speeches to relieve debt or to restore relationships or to comfort in sorrow or change lives that are on the wrong track, doesn't it? At the end of the day, can pleasant talk, if that's all there is, really be much of a solution? Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What does this mean? What did he mean? Fulfilled in your hearing? The people of Nazareth were missing something important. By his words, Jesus was addressing their needs. Because his words aren't merely words. His words have power. His words accomplish things. When he says, "This is the time of the Lord's favor," he's delivering the Lord's mercy and grace in that very proclamation. What Jesus says to the people next indicates that they were interested in seeing the things that he had done in Capernaum. But he wasn't willing to perform any miraculous healings there in Nazareth. He knew that miracles wouldn't have changed the unwillingness of the people to accept him for who he was. Miracles may serve to confirm faith, but where there is unwillingness to believe, miracles will not create faith. As Jesus later on said, "If they refuse to hear the scriptures, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." If we look at Jesus on his own terms, it's clear that he healed many from fevers and every sickness, that he restored sight and gave new strength to palsied limb. But he did much more. Before he told the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home," Jesus told him, "Your sins are forgiven you." As he traveled around, Jesus did more than merely heal. He also cast out demons, freeing people from the devil's power. And he taught about God's kingdom arriving, declared that God was merciful to them, spoke to them of God's searching love and abundant grace for sinners. In short, Jesus proclaimed good news, not only to the poor, but also to the poor in spirit. He proclaimed liberty to captives enslaved by sin. By his word, he gave new sight to many who were blind in matters of the spirit. He set at liberty those who had been crushed and broken by guilt and by shame. Through his words, Jesus offered, and not merely offered, but also delivered the Lord's favor to sinners. It's no wonder the church knows him as the great physician, not just of body, but also of soul. When Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," what he said was true. He was proclaiming and thereby causing to come into existence liberty and recovering of sight and the Lord's favor. Only those who refuse to believe fail to receive the blessings of which he spoke. Because of their refusal, they received the same judgment from Jesus which Paul and Barnabas would later declare in a synagogue in Asia Minor. Echoing Jesus in Nazareth, they had told the people, "Through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." When some contradicted and rejected this message, though, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Because those people in Nazareth thrust aside the gracious words of Jesus, passing through their midst, Jesus went away. He left these residents of Nazareth in their sin and went to other towns and villages to proclaim the Lord's favor to them. God preserve you from such a fate, and give you rather eager ears that hear and treasure the gracious words of release and freedom, which Jesus accomplishes still today through the proclamation of the gospel. These gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, all of the blessings Jesus earned for you by his death and resurrection, come to you through his word. By God's word, received in your ears, poured on your head with water, given into your mouth with bread and wine, God delivers you from sin, death, and the devil, and bestows on you eternal life. Thus, even on this day, God is fulfilling his promise of salvation in your hearing. We might say through your hearing. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.